And we are back. It is our health and wellness edition, as we do each and every Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. Jendai Harris joining us right now. She is a licensed professional counselor and a board-certified health coach with two books, The Chubby Church, books 1 and 2. Jendai, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Oh, we appreciate it. And we kind of vacillated back and forth on you coming in person because you're local versus calling in. And again, I gave you the option because whatever works best for you works for me. And I just appreciate you joining us today, Jendai.
Well, thank you. I'm actually finishing a book. So
oh,
actually helped
well, good today. For you. No, we are very flexible. But if any point in time in the future you want to come in and see us, you are more than welcome to do that. So, okay, I always ask this of authors. And again, I kind of know your angle just because of what you do. But I'm sorry, I'm critical a lot of times, and I shouldn't be. I've grown up in the church, been in it my entire life, and there's times I'm very critical of the church and the chubbiness of, because we do so many things in the church that, frankly, just are not healthy, that when I saw this title, I just laughed because I'm like, yeah, that's us, the chubby church, for sure.
So true. We absolutely have a lot of baking fundraisers, fried chicken events, and lots of donuts.
So, and lots of potlucks and so on. So, yeah, we are sometimes our own worst enemy. So, again, I mean, I kind of already know, you know, but I always ask, why the book?
Okay, why the book? I felt called to write it, bottom line. It's also a biggest part of my own personal struggle that I had to work through. But these particular books, when I saw stats years and years ago, I was teaching at the Potter's House. It's no longer here in Denver. But I would teach on eating disorders. And I found some stats, like, for example, that fundamental Christians led by Baptists had a 30% obese rate.
Wow, 30%.
So amongst religious groups, fundamental Christians were the chubbiest. And then also those who go to church a lot tend to have an increased risk of obesity. Now, we want you to go to church, right? But we really want you to apply the principles of health and of scripture into your life, right?
You also talk about, I know this, you know, in my own, you know, journey, health journey, I guess you could say, because I was at one time very heavy. As I get older, I'm realizing that it gets harder and harder to keep that weight down and keep it off. So trust me, partly why I do this every Wednesday is I'll be honest. I'm selfish. I do this as much for myself as I do all the listeners out there. On the same token, Jendai, I want people to be healthy, live a fulfilled life. I know what it's like to not do that. So I know from my own personal experience, you know, what it's like to be 100 plus pounds overweight. So I realize those struggles. And I'm also very sensitive to those struggles because I know what that's like, and I know that it's not fun, and at times you just don't know what to do or where to turn, and it's this inward struggle, and you talk about it, it's a mindset change that you also have to have that I'm not sure most people realize.
Yeah, you got that right, and congratulations for getting the weight down and also working programs like this, because myself included, to maintain great health, you really have to stay connected to health education and information. It's really critical for part of the health journey. But to that point and mindset, I mean, my story, I say I lost and gained, you know, 700 pounds throughout my life.
Oh, you and me both. Yeah, no, we're on the same team there.
It's always been an up and down journey. But most notably, I used to eat fast food, John, 3 times a day.
Me
like
too.
Every single meal.
Me too.
Okay. And have a lot of binge eating happening. And I just simply didn't know how the organs worked. So what happened was I had an overnight business in health coaching once I figured that out. And by reading some other material, I was like, oh, my gosh, this food doesn't have any nutritional value. It's tasty. It's good.
Right.
But that's our problem. We can't be, like, part of the mindset is we can't be a slave to just things that taste good, right? Because if we're a slave to things that taste good, your organs are craving those bitter foods such as kale, collards, you know, chard, things that Joy just talked about, you know, on the produce aisle stuff. You want to, your organs, like, get giddy. Like, we get giddy at, like, steak and ice cream, you know, and that's coming toward us, our mouth salivates. But when your organs actually need these types of green vegetables, and these thylakoids in the green vegetables help reduce cravings. So there's lots of benefits to actually considering the wholeness of your body, brain, as well as your taste in your food selections.
And I think to your point, the body is, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I think at times, especially as Christians, Jendai, we forget that. Our body does all sorts of wonderful things. It has the ability to self-repair, as you know, and do a lot of great things, provided we feed it and handle it correctly. I'm a car guy. That's my background. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's kind of the world I've come out of for all these years. And I also know that cars are mechanical, much like our bodies. And the better we maintain and take care of our vehicles, the longer they last, the less problems we have, the less breakdowns we have. And there is a huge correlation, by the way, between that and our own bodies. For some odd reason, we don't seem to understand that at times.
You know what? That is a great point, and so true, right? That the extreme. I think you said Extreme Auto was one of the
Extreme Auto Repair is one of my great sponsors, and I did very much what they did for a. Well, I grew up in the industry. I had my own shops for almost 40 years, and know very well the backside, front side of automobiles. And by the way, it's mechanical things in general. They have to be maintained and taken care of. It's why airplanes have to be completely disassembled every 10 years, put back together. Otherwise, they wouldn't be allowed to fly us as passengers around. So we as humans know that on the mechanical side, but we tend to forget it on our human body side.
Absolutely. And you know why? It's because it's so addicting. The standard American diet, which is mostly 60 to 70% processed foods, about 12% real foods, and especially fruits and vegetables, is problematic because the whole culture is like, is involved, right? We're this whole food culture. It's a very toxic food culture when you have, you know, lots of snack foods. We don't really need snack foods. We don't need sodas, right? We need water. We need real food.
Right, right.
But because of the way the food is engineered, and it is engineered,
yes,
to have certain amounts of fat, sugar, fat, sodium in it. And now when you have this combo of salt, sugar, and fat, it's going to become very intoxicating to the brain. And that is going to cause you to crave, honestly, just those foods. It's like, you know, little tap dancing devils on your taste buds,
yes,
that don't want you fruit and vegetables. You're not going to crave them. And then what happens is your energy goes down, your insulin goes up, or resist goes up, which causes all chronic diseases. And you're really just not going to have the energy. So you'll just be watching Netflix and chilling most of the time. So this is the way the culture is.
Yep.
And I talk about that in my book, especially book two. You really have to take a body, soul, spirit approach. And some of us struggle more than others,
yes,
right? You lost 100 pounds. I've lost, you know, 50, 60 pounds and more than once, multiple times. So I like to say Chubby Church is definitely that person who you know, basically mm-hmm. you struggle with food, eating, body image, and weight. And yes, we need to maintain our physical bodies and just stay conscious to it and staying connected to it, like listening to the show every week.
Well, thank you. And the other thing, I haven't read the book, so I will do my best to do so now that we've connected. And what I guess question I've got for you, and we had this conversation. I just met somebody at a meeting for one of my business coaching clients. I met for lunch and had a couple of poached eggs, so I was very much on my best behavior. So I did very well today. Thank you very much. Anyways, bottom line, we were talking about how just things are, to your point a moment ago, designed against us. In fact, and I don't know if you talk about it in the book, but the sugar lobby for years. I mean, for years and years and years, we were told salt bad, sugar good, sugar good. Well, quite frankly, if you really want to get down to the health of it, the salt is way less harmful on us than the sugar ever would be. We're addicted to sugar. It's the most addictive substance on planet Earth, by the way. Nobody seems to ever want to realize that or talk about that. But we had the sugar lobby for years, even changing the pyramid, if you would. And we were taught for the longest time, sugar good, salt bad. Nothing could be farther from the truth, Jendai.
Mm-hmm, that's so true. Even with blood pressure, if anybody's out there listening and trying to manage their blood pressure, it's like the salt and sugar industries are kind of against each other, right?
They
want to blame one another. And then what happens is everyone's confused. And the problem is like, oh, okay, I can't eat a bag of Doritos, but I can eat, you know, a bunch of cake. And it's really not true. They're both contributing to the same of systemic issues in the physical body, creating chronic diseases. And the same diet, the same type of eating of high fat, high sugar, high sodium, or any combination of those ingredients will actually cause, will actually cause chronic diseases of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, dementia. Okay, so these are the obesity. Okay, so all the diseases are going to manifest differently. but they are from the same root of how we're eating. And there's definitely ways to stay healthy without, you know, being concerned about these things.
Okay, so going back to the church, which I've got a lot of listeners that, you know, are Christians, they're in church on a routine basis, and I just know personally that there are times where, quote-unquote, the church doesn't do the greatest of job in helping us along these lines, you know, donuts on Sunday morning before church or Sunday school or whatever the case may be. And we don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be the, you know, quote unquote food Nazi running around telling everybody they're not doing it correctly. So how do people that are in our world, yours and mine, where you're trying to do things the best you can, how do you handle those things around church or any other organization we may become a part of to where those things are more handily, you know, are more readily available, I guess you could say, than the healthy options?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, ideally, we eat before we go, okay? So eat a very full, okay, you know, healthier version before you go so you're not as tempted. Exercise helps with that. Any green vegetables help with reducing temptation. Water, hydration helps. Sleep helps. All these things help put you in a more powerful position so you're not as tempted when you go out. You also have to, if food is problematic for you, you got to really decide your plan for dealing with it ahead of time.
Yep.
So just a simple plan of, you know, like bringing an alternative with you can really help a lot. It may not, maybe you don't have an apple, maybe you have a protein bar or something, but just having some kind of alternative that works for you, you know, to go to the party, the event, the church thing, et cetera. So simple basics like that are really helpful. I mean, you can't really get out of a food addictive, you know, thing unless you have a plan for the future use of it. That's going to be your most powerful resource.
No, it's no different than an alcoholic or a drug addict or anybody else. And you know, I call myself, when I opened up the show today, I'm a food addict. I'm that guy. There's not too many foods I don't like. That's part of my problem. I'll pretty much eat anything, and I just have an emotional connection with food.
That's
which
right.
Kind of leads me into that next question. So if there's somebody listening that maybe doesn't recognize that, like, not, again, not putting myself on a pedestal, I just understand my relationship with food, and at times it's not great because I'm an emotional guy, and I can eat emotionally if I'm not careful. I have to really pay attention to that and make sure that I'm not doing that. So how do we defeat those emotional episodes we may have, especially if we're an emotional eater like myself?
Yeah, great question, and I resonate with you deeply. Here's the thing. Everyone emotionally, like pretty much, I think you asked this stat, it's usually 70 to 90% of people will say they've emotionally ate at some point.
Yeah.
But true emotional eaters, it's a difference between like a 200 calorie, let's say, you know, a snack or something versus a 2000 calorie, okay? So when you're dealing with emotional eating, you get an emotional trigger, and it's usually much deeper than meets the eye. Or some people just eat out of boredom. That's a habitual type of issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just boredom. There's nothing to do. But sometimes if we look deeper, that same issue of what seems like boredom and, you know, watching TV is actually rooted back way back when to when you were alone and you were a latchkey kid and nobody was there. Okay,
yeah.
So you're still dealing with some intimacy type of concerns and issues. For myself, there was one day I had a binge. It was like two slices of pizza, which for some that's like laughing at me because they eat the whole pizza. it was like a pint of ice cream, some sticky buns. It was a lot of food in a short amount of time.
That's pretty good binge. No, I'll give you credit. That's a good binge.
Thank you. And but now I can't eat that way if I wanted to. And there have been times throughout my journey that I wanted to, but
sure,
this is way back. And I was like, wow, look at what I just ate. And I was triggered because my husband was absent, like he was neglectful, let's say. And it really helped me to look at this and say, oh my gosh, like this is rooted from, and it was rooted so deeply. I got help. There's a great therapist named Callie Martin who is in the area. She deals with food issues. She's called Healing at the Core. I highly recommend her.
Okay.
Started seeing her way back and really got to the core. Guess what it was? It was my dad's death at 6 years old.
Wow.
That was triggering a binge at 20-something. From the same issue of absenteeism or neglect or not there or abandonment, okay? So it's so much deeper than people think, especially if you have this as a long-time type of problem. When I was sick, that's when I started using food to cope with the chaos in my home life. So we have to just look at our relationship with food and ourselves and our past. So your soul is past, present, and future all at the same time. And when we are dealing with issues in the present, a lot of times people just want to say, oh, the past doesn't affect me. But it does, and it can. And it's just how we look at this. And then also the food itself, as you just said, John, is addictive. Okay?
Yes, it
is. That has nothing to do with your emotion.
True.
If you're going to eat certain foods, you're going to suddenly be emotional. Like if you eat too much sugar, you're going to be emotional. And guess what happens? You eat too much salt, you're going to be irritable.
Yeah.
And what happens, and you eat more. So research has shown if you have sugar, if you eat a meal with sugar in it, you're going to actually be hungry sooner and eat more. If you eat salt, you're going to be hungry more. If you eat wheat and you have wheat addiction tendencies, like my brain is wheat addictive.
Me too.
You're going to eat more. If you have a dairy addiction, cheese is extremely addicting. Mm. Some people can look at cheese and order a pizza. That's how addicting it is. So we have to really realize that sometimes the food culture and the food addiction actually is triggering the emotional eating as well. So there's a physiological component. There's an emotional component for some of us that have had some trauma. And I call it troubology. We have to look at troubology issues and more. So my book is very comprehensive. There's two books. I'm working on a secular version called Whole and Free Health, and that's really the goal. So you can check it out at thechubbychurch.com.
I tell you what, given the fact that you are local, what I want to do is maybe for April, we'll pick a week that actually works. Have you come in? You and I could spend literally, we could do this for an entire hour. I know there's people out there listening that would love to ask questions. So I want to be able to give them that opportunity because I know this is a bigger deal than even a lot of folks would want to admit. So again, if you're up for that, you and I will get together, figure out how to make that happen. But I would love to have you in for a full hour. We could have people ask questions because this is stuff people need, Jendai. It really is.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
It really is. I mean, again, I'm just ever so thankful that we, got together, that we got introduced. And I know it just happens in, funny ways, but I'm glad that we did. And again, I'm not even halfway through the things I wanted to ask you. I kind of figured that would happen. But I also know that there'll be future shows and we can have you back. And we do this every Wednesday for an hour anyways. But this is just fabulous. Where do people buy the book? What's the best place for you for them to do that?
You can go to thechubbychurch.com. It's going to lead you to Amazon. So either way, it's on Audible. It's on Kindle.
Okay.
I love Audible because you.
Me
can
too. I listen in the car. I spend a lot of a lot of windshield time. So yeah, Audible works great for me.
Yes. We don't want you to listen to it during the show. Okay.
No. This is before and after, folks. That's right. Before and after. Jendai, this has been such an honor. I really mean that sincerely. I know you've got a lot of great information that you could help a lot of folks that are listening, because to your point, there's so much more that goes into this than just loving food. There's a lot of emotional things that happen that get people, off track, if you would, on this health journey. And again, my goal is for everybody to live a very healthy, productive, Christ-filled, spirit-filled life where they can just enjoy life to the fullest. And I know that you've got many, many things that can help people do that. So we'll have you back and do more of this.
Can't wait. Thank you.
Jendai, thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. Have a great rest of your evening. And she's local, so she's willing to come in and be in studio with us. And I will set that up for April. We can get her in and actually ask, get to where you guys can call in, ask questions and so on. And I personally would enjoy that. I know a lot of you would as well.